Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Losers, in other words.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Bulldog realizing the Red Sox played the Blue Jays tonight. He's like, good, I can watch the Red Sox-Blue Jays game, just not see it.
Right, I'll watch it and not see it.
I'll watch and not see it. Yeah. Is that better than not watching? I don't think it is.
No. No, it's not. It's better off not. It's better to have loved and lost. I'll stop.
No, this would be, not watching the game would be the equivalent of not having loved.
Right. Right. Okay.
Loved and lost is watching the game, but not being able to see the score or the ball when it's hit. Like, you just can't. But that, you know, it's not that hit. It's not hit that often anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, don't worry about it too much because it's not hit that often.
Saturday night, I was watching Dodgers Red Sox, and all I saw was Dodgers rounding the bases. I did not see the ball.
No,
ever.
You're not going to see the ball.
I just saw guys trotting. That was it. They hit a lot of home runs, it seemed. What time is Dirt Cheap TV open till? I think I might go after work. I might
another plug. Joining us now on the West Her Hotline is Tyler Dunn of Bleacher Report at Ty Dunn on Twitter. Tyler, what's new?
Hey, what's going on, guys? How you doing?
Pretty good.
Doing great. It's nice to talk to you again, man.
Hey, you too. You too. Always good to pop on here.
What are you working on lately?
Oh, man. So, yeah, the training camp's around the corner, kind of preparing for all those trips. You know, I think it's kind of strange, but, like, regionally, there's just a ton of storylines to track. I mean, when was the last time the Cleveland Browns were a Super Bowl contender? I mean, it's pretty remarkable. So, hoping to get down there at some point, probably Pittsburgh, and, you know, always trying to push for something Buffalo here, too. I mean, I think there's, you know, right here locally, or I should say St. John Fisher, there's going to be a lot to watch. So, kind of a little bit of everything, I guess, to answer your question.
The Bills are doing I'm not sure it's a week, but practices in South Carolina with the Panthers and then playing the Panthers in a preseason game. I think more teams are doing that. Is that good for a guy like you to get, like, two teams at once?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you kind of learn a little bit more about a team when you see them practice against another team, too. And I guess in our position, we kind of have that benefit of, like, seeing different teams and then, like, comparing them. I'm just thinking of last summer, like, stopping by Bills camp and watching Nathan Peterman for – you know, one practice, and then comparing that to other quarterbacks around the league, you know, even Andy Dalton in Cincinnati, it was like, whoa, this isn't going to last long in Buffalo. So I think the Bills will probably learn a little bit more about themselves playing another team for sure.
I guess you were right about that, Peterman. It did not last very long. It did not even last a game.
You're right.
You were right about that.
Right. Yeah, the Bills definitely, I mean, you mentioned the two teams you mentioned there. Pittsburgh is like it's not exactly a new era because Roethlisberger is still the quarterback and Tomlin is still the coach, but no Antonio Brown, no Le'Veon Bell. So can they sort of reclaim glory after missing last year? Cleveland, I'm real curious about, Tyler, because there's a lot of hype there and it's there's big star power there, but it's a new coach and it's also a franchise that just has not been good in a long, long time. Like, are you quick to expect them to be a contender, or do you think it's all just a little bit cart before the horse?
Man, I mean, these are two teams with two different approaches here, isn't it? I mean, the Steelers are, like, cleansing the locker room, and they think that they probably think it's addition by subtraction by, you know, letting Le'Veon Bell, Antonio Brown walk, and plugging in James Conner, Juju Smith-Schuster. I mean, Ben Roethlisberger pretty much said it in so many words that it's going to be drama-free, and you know, I don't know. I mean, you're talking about two potential future Hall of Famers leaving. I don't know if that's a good thing. Just in Cleveland, to answer your question, I'm taking it hook, line, and sinker. I mean, There's just too much talent there, I think, for it not to work. And I think that you get the best out of Odell Beckham Jr. when he's with Jarvis Landry. Back at LSU, it sure sounds like a Jarvis Landry kind of embraced that, you know, whatever you want to call it, that alpha dog role, being the leader in the room. And Odell was kind of like thrust into that in New York with, and he didn't really want that. He embraced that sidekick role, just playing football, not worrying about that pressure. So I think it will work, but you're talking about a lot of personalities on that team. I mean, you know, we can't even talk about the quarterback, Baker Mayfield. There's nobody like him in the game with that kind of attitude, swagger. I guess with trepidation, I say they win the division and they contend for a Super Bowl. But that's a pretty big if with all those personalities.
The coach is one too, isn't he?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Freddie Kitchens is, you know, he's not shy, it seems. And just look at how they're handling this Duke Johnson thing. I mean, you have a running back saying he wants to be traded, doesn't want to be there. And you've got the quarterback and the coach basically saying, you know, get on this train or leave. We don't want you. They're bold, they're blunt, and they don't really care who hears it. I think it's refreshing for the Browns. Like, you know, this is a team that's just been terrible for years, decades. They need a zap to the system, and I think they got it. They've got a coach and a quarterback that seem to have a pretty good relationship. Something, you know, Buffalo's trying to build themselves.
But it was at least somewhat interesting that some veteran players on the team sort of smacked Mayfield after that, though, right? I mean, that could be a sign of some trouble.
I know. That's what I'm saying. It could be. When you've got personalities and egos like this, I tend to think it doesn't matter, that at the end of the day, you want the most talent and you want that talent on the field, and that's what wins games, that words are just words. But who knows? I mean, who knows? You know, there could be something that kind of lights the wrong fuse at the wrong time, and things kind of blow up in Cleveland, because that was, you know, a very, very small example. I think there were probably players in that locker room saying, hey, Baker, come on, you know, from the NFLPA point of view, we're all kind of going the same direction here. Mm-hmm. You got to think of the players, and Baker's thinking of the team, and you know, you can kind of see both points of view. It could blow up, but I don't think that stuff matters as much as other people.
I love that we're talking about this. I mean, I'm among the many that thinks Cleveland and Pittsburgh are interesting in a lot of ways. You know, I too am somebody that wants to choose talent. Like, I want to be on Cleveland, but it is risky. And if I'm the Steelers, I'm looking at the Browns going, can you just not be terrible once for the first time, you know, in my adult kids' lives? You have just never done anything. Shut up. Right? So they've just got to do something before they really deserve any respect. And by the way, they don't play until mid-November, the Browns and the Steelers. The Browns play the Bills, as it happens, in Week 10. And then on the Thursday night after that is when they play Pittsburgh at home for the first time. So if that thing escalates, they'll be talking about Cleveland-Pittsburgh when the Bills are in town. With Tyler Dunn from Bleacher Report. Or how about... this is probably the last time we talk to you until at least camp is well underway, Tyler. What do you want to see from the Bills? Like, what's a good year? What's the minimum good year for these guys?
Man, they've got to win more games than they did last year, and I think you have to see a step from Josh Allen. I mean, this is year three for the regime, really. And yeah, they probably bought themselves some, you know, some time with making the playoffs when nobody thought they'd make the playoffs. I mean, I bet you Sean McDermott, Brandon Bean were not expecting to make the playoffs if you caught him in an honest moment. But it's still year three. And much like, you know, the situation in San Francisco, Kyle Shanahan, John Lynch, Jimmy Garoppolo, you know, they're into year three, was out there. They're feeling the pressure to win. There should be some pressure in Buffalo. And if you read everything and listen to everything that Sean McDermott says, he's been very careful to temper expectations, and you hear a lot of references to the previous regime and all of that. You know, I think that they would love patience to win out and to get multiple years, but they've got to win more than they did last year. Got to see a set from Josh Allen. I mean, there should be some pressure on this team, because now they've been together for a little bit.
Of course there should be pressure. Like, wherever it's got to come from, there should be. Goff and the Rams made the playoffs in year two. Wentz and the Eagles made the playoffs in year two. Trubisky and the Bears made the playoffs in year two. And those regimes are similarly timelined as the Bills with McDermott. So I think that's absolutely right. I don't think it's asking too much for your quarterback to play well enough for you to be like a contender for a playoff spot. Like, that's where they should be stepping towards.
No doubt. I mean, you just nailed it. I mean, you look at these other teams, they all took a jump, and you're talking about back-to-back, I mean, two of the best draft classes at the quarterback position, and the Bills kind of targeted their next franchise quarterback in those drafts that came away with Josh Allen. I mean, you need to see something from Josh Allen, and, you know, a big step in improvement, whatever that is, whether that's doing what he's doing, just winning because he has more talent around him, or developing in the pocket. The pressure's there because you're talking Patrick Mahomes, Mitchell Trubisky, Deshaun Watson, Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, Lamar Jackson, Josh Rosen. I mean, these are a lot of quarterbacks that a lot of teams pin their hopes on, and that the Bills came away with Allen. They gave up a lot to get him, you know, cleansing the roster to get all those assets to get him. I mean, I'd like to hear from you guys. I mean, what kind of steps do you want to see out of Josh Allen? I would think it's just improving from the pocket, being more accurate, and who knows if he can? Who knows if that's a teachable thing?
Right. I mean, this is a great list of quarterbacks here. That's right. Some of those quarterbacks, too, you mentioned Bulldog, made the playoffs in their second year with a new coach. Chicago,
yeah, that's right.
And the Rams, that coach was in their first year. And that's the Browns and the Jets this year with those mm-hmm. quarterbacks. So the Bills have more continuity, if you will,
yeah.
than those examples. Baltimore's already been in. That quarterback helped them get in
yeah.
Last year. Tyler, the Melvin Gordon story. So, you know, we've been talking about this. The league is talking about this. It's, in a way, not surprising. Running backs produce, where's my money? But it's also reasonable, I think, for the league in this way to be like, why should we pay you? So where does this go from here, either in terms of Gordon himself or just the league in general?
Man, this is fascinating. I mean, getting to know Melvin Gordon a little bit for a story a couple years ago, this guy... I mean, this is somebody you want in your building. Back in college, I mean, when guys were, you know, out partying at Friday, Saturday night, I mean, he's literally running for 3-4 miles around the UW campus. This is somebody whose dad was in prison he was, like, really high on the food chain of selling drugs, you know, outside of Chicago. And, I mean, pretty fascinating. He was able to kind of get an early release by identifying people on a wire. I mean, he wanted to be there for his son to watch him play, so he did that. He's out. Him and his son have kind of rekindled their relationship, which is just an amazing story in itself. And on the field, I mean, he does everything you'd want. And all that being said, if you're the Chargers, why would you pay him? I mean, why would you invest in this position when you see what all these other teams are doing at the position? And you've got a guy in Austin Eckler. You've got Justin Jackson. You got to pay Phillip Rivers next year. They've got a great defense that they have to keep paying up for. I don't think that they're going to budge. I'd be really shocked if the Chargers gave in to Melvin Gordon here. And I think they're going to wait for Melvin Gordon to blink. You know, maybe he shows up right before the season. If he pulls a Le'Veon Bell, but they're probably going to be okay with that.
How do you find players in the league? I would imagine running backs don't like the way the position's being handled financially within the league because, well, it directly affects their pocketbooks. Do you think teammates understand? Like, you sort of you caught my ear with he's a guy you'd want in your building. So, like, that's a popular teammate, probably someone who's a good example and does everything the right way and all those things. Check a lot of boxes. And if you play hardball with a guy like that, maybe you run the risk of hurting the team overall. How do you find players at other positions in the league to be viewing, if you've had any time to have a conversation with anyone about how running backs are being paid?
Yeah, you know, there probably is some of that, Chris. I mean, I would think there's absolutely some of that because of the effect he has in the locker room, and you want that, you want to value that. But also, I guess the other side of it is, okay, you give in to Melvin Gordon, you give him a lot of money, kind of like the Bills did with Marcell Dareus. I remember talking to him in the Cleveland locker room at the end of a preseason game, and he said, hey, they're treating me like I'm a dime a dozen, and just threaded the team. And I think it was, a couple days later, he got that insane contract he never should have got. Like, they gave in to him, and that didn't really have a good effect. I mean, you could see more players on the Chargers, you know, saying, hey, where's my money? I want to redo my contract, too. So it could have an inverse effect that isn't good. So I think the Chargers are really well run, and they're just going to have to, you know, stick to their guns and not give in here to a player that is revered in the locker room.
Starting with running backs, so many of these arguments come up in other sports, starting pitchers, goalies. And we go, yeah, that's right. I don't know why you'd pay that guy. Seems like that's replaceable. And sometimes I wonder, Tyler, who do you pay? I mean, a quarterback might need to be really good to deserve the second contract. Young players in all sports can be so good right away. The system should reward guys like Melvin Gordon on the first day or in the first year, but it doesn't. They make you go through 4 or 5 years. And so I wonder, like, who are the guys you really need? I can't pay him. He's a guard. I can't draft him in the first round. He's a guard or he's a safety or whatever. Like, and the cap goes up all the time. The league prints money. What am I supposed to do with it?
Boy, and it just changes every year. Wasn't it just a year ago that safeties weren't getting paid? I mean, like, nobody was getting paid at the safety position. I mean, Tyrann Mathieu had to take just a bad one-year contract with Houston to kind of, I guess, keep playing, and then he got a ridiculous contract with the Chiefs. Now safeties are getting paid all over the place. Yeah. Earl Thomas got the big deal with the Ravens, and, I mean, Kenny Vaccaro with the Titans all over. So, yeah, I don't know. I think the teams just kind of, like, follow each other's lead. It's a copycat league, and it just kind of changes year to year. But that's one thing that seems to not be changed is the running back position and how that position is dealt with, because I think the Rams even would love a redo on that contract they gave to Todd Gurley with, you know, the reported arthritis in his knee, whatever is going on with Todd Gurley. It's just that position just takes a beating, whether it's running the ball, catching the ball in the backfield. You just don't stay at your peak performance long at running back. And the Bills are one of those teams with one of the top five highest paid players at the position, and who knows if LeSean McCoy is going to be around that long.
Yeah, Tyler, one more. So I'm going to prevent you from picking any of the four teams that were in the championship round last year. If you had to pick a Super Bowl winner this year from outside of those four teams, does one leap to mind? Will you hang up and pretend that you didn't hear this question because it's impossible? Or just what would you do? If you can't pick the Patriots, Chiefs, Rams, or Saints, what do you want to do?
It's got to be the Indianapolis Colts, yep. Man. Yep. I think it's, you know, Frank Reich and the Colts, but the way they started the season, what was it, 1-5 and rallied? I know they got blown out by Kansas City in the playoffs, but Andrew Luck, you know, another year removed from all of his issues. Unbelievable talent position, maybe the best quarterback in the league. They've rebuilt the offensive line. Chris Ballard just might be the GM in the NFL. What he's done to rebuild that team, and defensively, Darius Leonard could be the MVP on that side of the ball. So, I love the Colts. I think that they could win it all this year for sure.
I like the Eagles for that answer. I think they got there's the potential for a big bounce back there. I think they've got. I mean, they were in the playoffs anyway, but I mean, just yes. They didn't make the conference final.
They won a game on the road.
I think that's still
Wentz.
That's a team that still to me looks pretty solid. I think, but
yeah, I like that. I like Indy too. What do you think of San Francisco before you go? You mentioned them. What are you expecting?
Boy, that could go one way or the other. They could contend for a Super Bowl and. Spending some time out there, they absolutely view themselves as a Super Bowl team. I mean, you hear that. It was kind of weird, you know, around most teams. It's like if you say those words, you're sent to the principal's office and given detention. In San Francisco, they're talking Super Bowl. I don't care who hears it, but they've had a ton of questionable picks. Who really knows how that Lynch-Shanahan dynamic works? There could be some internal problems there. I mean, if Garoppolo isn't who they think he is, they could hit reset as well after this season. So, yeah, to answer your question, they could win the Super Bowl, and they could go 6-10. I think it could go really either direction.
Very good. Any questions for us these days?
Man, give me your 20-second Saber take. Switch gears. I want to hear some hockey.
Sabres. I'm ready for guys to be traded off the team, and then I'll be ready to look at it and get an idea in my head, and I trust that will happen. So I'm in a generally patient mood about them, and somewhat optimistic. I like who they've brought in.
I think the number of RFA contracts around the league that still haven't been signed indicate that there's still significant player movement to come, and I would expect Ristolainen to be in the middle of that. And I like what they've done so far. But they still need, if they were to stop here and go to camp with this team, I wouldn't expect much of a different result, really. I like the changes, but they need something on top of the changes up front so that Johansson and Vesey can play at the levels that they might be able to excel at rather than putting them in a top-line role.
Yeah. No, I think you guys are right on. I just watching all that Toronto Raptors stuff, you know, the party in their plaza, whatever you want to call it, Jurassic Park. Mm-hmm. Like, didn't that just bring back memories from, 11, 12 years ago? And when the Sabres win again, when any team here wins again, I think it looks like that.
Yeah, I would certainly like to think so and would not disagree.
Yeah, there were thousands of people in 0 degrees waiting for the Bills plane in Miami on New Year's Eve. So, yeah, I think if it's springtime and you're in the playoffs, you can expect to see people out in big numbers, for sure.
Great to talk to you, Tyler, as always. Thanks for your time.
Hey, thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.